Okay, we got awarded the discretionary planning highway planning funds last year, and then we did a call for we did an RFP to do the core MPO regional freight transportation plan update. This is the schedule. We started the RFP in November, and then we ended the selection process in February of this year. And then of the three applicants we received, Cambridge Systematics came on top, and then we have negotiated with Cambridge Systematics. So we have signed the contract with Cambridge, and then we also signed the funding contract with GDOT. So the notice to proceed, actually, notice to proceed was issued on April the 18th, last week. So the first kickoff meeting will be held this Friday. So we are going to have this freight plan update process underway, and it will take about more than a year. So we are expecting to have the study done probably by the end of July of next year. So I think all of the MPO committees will be updated on the process. Any questions? Hello, can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
So I guess hearing no questions, we can move on to the next status report, which is the SR 26 from Chatham County line to SR 21.
This is the City of Pooler project. City of Pooler actually got awarded the CRESA funds, which is the COVID-19 relief funds. They got about, I think it's 100, I don't remember, $280,000 to do a study, which is the US 80 corridor study. The GDOT changed the name to, yeah, something that is not recognizable, $285,000. So the US 80, the study limit is from the Chatham County and Effingham County line, and then from the west, and go all the way to the east. So passing through Bloomingdale, Pooler, Garden City, City of Savannah, and unincorporated Chatham County, and so it will end at the State Route 21. So the recommendations from this study will fit into the MPO's 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update process. And currently, Pooler is doing the RFP, the request for proposals, and then Pooler is also executing a project framework agreement with the Georgia Department of Transportation. So when the PFA is assigned with GDOT, and then when the RFP process is closed, and then they would do a project the ranking, interview, and selection, and the contract negotiation. So after PFA is executed, the Pooler will execute a contract with the selected consultant to undertake this study. The study will also be expected. The study is to be done from June of this year to October of next year. So right now, it says Pooler is still in the RP process. We don't know yet like how many proposals are being received because the deadline is actually May the 2nd. But the consultant selection probably will happen at the end of May and early of June. So basically still in the RFP process now. Any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for Wycota?
No.
All right, then we can move on to the next item under status reports, which is the FMT for optimized planning of core MPO transportation infrastructure systems.
Okay, this dynamic flood modeling tool for optimized planning of core MPO transportation infrastructure system. This study also got the funds from the GDOT discretionary planning funds. The total study is estimated to be $150,000, and It is the same as the freight plan update. So the RFP process was pretty similar. The difference is at the first round, this study received only two proposals. And then we have to meet the like minimum of three as the requirement. So we actually extended the RFP process for another 2 weeks and eventually got three proposals. So of the three proposals, the review committee actually ranked and also did the interview. So the University of Georgia was selected as the top one. And the MPC, which is the contracting agency for the MPO, is negotiating the developing the scope of services and negotiating the contract with UGA. But the funding contract between MPC and GDOT has been executed. So right now we are like updating the try to nail out the scope of services, because the original format that sent to us, the scope of service wasn't very clear on the deliverables and then the timeline. So we're trying to have a different format to make sure this is what is to be done in this task and what is deliverable and what is the timeline for all of this. So we're working this out, and hopefully the contract will be finalized this week. And then next week at the MPC meeting, hopefully the contract will be executed at that time. And after the contract is executed between MPC and the UGA, this project will kick off after notice to proceed as well. So we're still hoping to have this project started in probably early May and probably finished by August of next year as well. Any questions?
If there are no questions, we'll move on to the next item, which is the 2050 MTP update.
Okay, for many of you who have been participating in the MPO planning process for a long time, or those are new, there are three required planning documents of the MPO. The most important of all is the long-range transportation plan. And our current long-range transportation plan 2045 was adopted in August 2019, and the MTP has to be updated at least every 5 years. And normally the update process takes place, needs about 2 years to update the long-range transportation plan. Many of you might not know, the previous director, Mark Wilkes, has retired. And Alicia Hunter, our transportation planner, has left MPC. So right now we are short-staffed. So just myself, Asia's part-time, Sally's part-time. So we decide before we hire three more new planners, so we just need to make sure that we can still get the MTP update done in time. So the next MTP, the long-range transportation plan, is 2050 MTP. It needs to be adopted in August of 2024. So because we are short staffed, we want to start earlier than that. So currently there are several tasks that are ongoing. The first one is the socioeconomic data development, because this will feed into the final planning document. And also, most important of all, the socioeconomic data will be the input for the travel demand model, which is the travel demand modeling process. It is like guiding the way of the whole plan development process. And we have the advanced planning department from MPC. Kate will be working on the socioeconomic data development. So we will provide the base year 2019, and then the model year or horizon year 2050, the socioeconomic data by each traffic analysis zone. So we are starting to work on that. And also in the summer, we probably will have the Savannah urbanized area or Savannah urban area delineated by the census. And then after that, we have to update the MPO's planning boundary. Our current planning boundary is Chatham County, plus Richmond Hill in Bryan County and a little bit of Effingham County. But we will see in the summer what our new Savannah urban area will look like. And then after that, we have to do project our planned boundary for the MPO. So that is the existing census designated urban area plus the area expect to be urbanized within the next 20 years or so. So we will do that. And that will be a part of the social update as well. And after that, we will update our bylaws and MOUs and the committee structure. So that is ongoing. So we're monitoring the socioeconomic data and the urban area boundary release. And the second part is the goals, objectives, and performance measures. Alicia, before she left, she started the kickoff this in October of last year, in October of 2021. But this will be a several months process. So you can see actually at the end. So you have the planning phase, research phase. So eventually we want to have this goals, objectives, and performance measures probably adopted in August of this year. And we have already presented the draft goals, objectives, and performance measures to the committees once. So the next step is to have a public involvement plan. Also, I think we already have collected some survey information. So the next step is to conduct the public involvement plan. Probably we'll do that in May, June, or July. I mean, either of those months. The second part, the third part that we are starting to do is the public engagement. So the MTP update process will involve a lot of public meetings. So we probably just go to the communities and collect information on the goals, objectives at once, and also the prioritization methodology. And then when we have a project list, so we'll present the project list and recommendations. And then we have to decide like where to host those public meetings and what kind of information we're going to send out. For example, brochures or flyers or what, booklets. So we have to decide, or social media. So we just need to decide on what kind of public outreach methods we're going to have. And also, if we have the information, where to distribute the information. Asia has actually identified some of these churches, community centers, libraries, the city halls, and public events. I think this is still a part of the list, but I think we might expand to all, because this list is built upon the comprehensive plan, the public involvement process. But the comprehensive plan actually doesn't cover like Bryan County and Effingham County like the MPO planning boundary does. So we probably just add to this list those expanded areas, and then we will decide what kind of menus that we will have. So currently, Sally and Asia will work on developing a detailed public involvement plan, outlining what kind of informations and we're going to send out, and at what stage of the plan development, and where. So this is the third part of the public the MTP update process. And then another part actually is not listed over here. It's like I talked about the freight plan update. And we're also going to update our congestion management process. And we're also going to update our non-motorized transportation plan and the thoroughfare plan. And then, like I mentioned, that US 80 corridor study that Pooler is going to do, it will be going to be underway. And then we also just finished the two studies. One is the State Route 307 corridor study. Another one is State Route 21 access management study. So all of these study recommendations will eventually feed into the 2050 MTP development process. So basically we are doing one, socioeconomic data development, two, public involvement, three, the study review and update, and the plan review and update, and then the first part that will be finished would be the goals and objectives. So we will keep all of the MPO committees involved in all of this. So you will be an integrated part of this public involvement process. Any questions?
None for me.
And I just want to reiterate what Wycota said. So public engagement is just a really important piece of the MTP update. And so we would really love everyone's input on this plan. So just look out in the future for opportunities for input. With that, we can move on to the next item, which is the 2022 Z230 call for projects.
As I mentioned, the three required MPO documents. One is the Metropolitan Plan, Metropolitan Transportation Plan or Long Range Transportation Plan. And the second part is the Transportation Improvement Program. And then the third part is Unified Planning Work Program. So this is the Z230 call for projects related to the TIP. It's called the Transportation Improvement Program. So basically, if you have 50 projects in the long range transportation plan, and you only have like a certain amount of money available for the next 4 years, so you can only program the highest priority projects from the long range plan into this TIP, because the TIP is the short term, it normally covers 4 years. So Z230 or urban attributable funds is the part that MPO controls. So of these 4 years program, you have projects like Interstate 16 widening or I-95, I-16 interchange reconstruction. Those require very, very big money. Normally those will be from the funding sources that are controlled by the GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration. But there are certain amount of money that MPO can control. That means that we will have the capability to do call for projects, and then our committees will rank the applicants and rank the applications and award. So MPO has the authority to prioritize and award projects with these funds. So for Z230 funds, we have about $5 million, federal portion about $4 million each year. So on average, we have about $4 million Z230 available in our area. So what can we do for these funds? These funds are pretty flexible. So they can be used for highway projects, transit projects, bike projects, pedestrian projects. And the project phases can be preliminary engineering, right-of-way, construction, or design. So all of that. Previously, I think in our current fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP, our fiscal year 2021 funding are balanced, and fiscal year 2022 funds are balanced, but we didn't have enough applications before for the 2023 and the 2024 funds. So we need to get a lot of projects that apply for these funds so that we can program the projects into the TIP. Also, there are some additional information from GDOT. There might be some like previous years unallocated Z230 funds that can be available for obligation at any time. So we will add that to the 2023 and the 2024. And also some newly released 2023 funds from the new transportation funding legislation. So we are still trying to figure out with GDOT, like how much funds will be available for these next 2 years. So we would decide like how much that we can allocate to projects. So when we did the Z230 call for projects before, some of the local jurisdictions like Pooler and CAT, they send us the applications, but we actually publish a manual. So if you read the manual carefully, you probably know your eligibility. But for a lot of the local agencies, that's not very intuitive because they're not very familiarized with the MPO process. So this time we decide, okay, instead of you send us the applications and then we deem them to be ineligible because they don't meet the eligibility requirements. So we decide this time we're going to do a pre-application workshop. This is proposed the schedule. So we are proposing to do a pre-application workshop So you will see if you have an idea, your agency has have an idea that, okay, we might have a study ready or might have a project ready. So we will determine probably at a time and tell you what is eligible, what is not. So that we can help you. So that will eliminate some future obstacles. So you're being rejected or your project is not meeting, is not included or consistent with the current long range transportation plan or something, you're not eligible. But if you have certain ideas or you want to make it a project, so we will help you to figure it out, like how to do that. So we want to do pre-application workshop in June. And then also MPO is still working on finalizing our menus and the forms based on the input. Currently, we're inviting input from all of the committees. So after we get that, we will finalize our application menus and form, and we will do the call for project. And we will also do like Core MPO will host a Q&A session in August before we start the call for project. So basically all of this is to ensure that everybody understands what kind of projects can be eligible. Another thing that we want this schedule to be more reasonable is because for all of the planning studies, we know some local jurisdictions might apply for these funds for planning studies. But the GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration developed some kind of requirements that there is a certain procedure for planning studies before you can apply for any of these funds. One of the requirements is that the study has to be discussed by the Technical Coordinating Committee, TCC, at least at two meetings. So some of the study, you cannot come up with something, one study suddenly in August, you decide to do it. No, we want to make sure that your study has been discussed by the TCC at least twice. So if you haven't started in April, you can start in August, in June. And then so in June and August, at least your study will be discussed twice. And then those ideas will be put into the illustrative section of the UPWP. So if the agency hasn't started that, and we encourage to give them enough time, so June and August. So the latest, we will amend our 2023 UPWP to have all those studies amended. And then when you get the funds, and it will move the studies into the funded section of the UPWP. So basically, this is what you're trying to do this time. So we want to give the local applicants two opportunities to get clarifications on the eligibility, and also make sure that you, yeah, if it's planning study, it has at least two rounds of meetings. And we want to do something as a building up a waiting list. The reason we have to do this call for project is because we didn't have any applications to fill in the money in 2023 and the 2024. So what happens is everybody thinks their project is ready to go. So everybody wants the money to in 2021 or 2022. So they think that they can get their hands on those money very quickly. But what we are trying to do is that we want the local project sponsors to be more realistic, to have a more realistic schedule for our projects. So if your project, the project has different phases, if it's preliminary engineering is not ready in 2021 as you expected, you should probably apply in 2022 or something. And then after that, normally the preliminary engineering plan will take 2 years. So your right away probably would not be ready until 2 years later. So we want you to like build out. That's why we want to have this waiting list developed. So in that case, if 2023, suddenly one project cannot make it, and then the next in line in the waiting list can just come up, use that funds. So we don't have to do this call for project every so often. So this is another thing that we're targeting for this call. And so we're trying to like fill up all that information. So currently this is just a status report for you. And actually, you can see the current the application menu and application form, and everything is already listed over here. So just take a look at this. And if you see anything that you want to provide us information for, just send us, shoot us an email so that we can revise our menu to accommodate all of this. So you can see all the other attachments included with this report. That's it. Any questions?
Any questions before we move on? All right. Thank you, Waikota, for all of your presentations. We're now going to move on to agency reports. So are there any agencies that have anything to report? Any agency reports with LIFE or CAT or any other agencies?
This is Neil, the executive director with LIFE. I just wanted to, and I'll be in touch with somebody with CAT about kind of how to go about building how you guys went about building the process of taking down calls and kind of what that looks like as far as intake. As well as scheduling of rides and whatnot. We're just trying to get a better idea of kind of how that process works for the benefit of our consumers, but also to understand better from our own perspective moving forward. But I'll be in contact with somebody via email to have that discussion.
Thank you. What about Kat? Any updates?
Yes, ma'am. The update I have is we are still with CRC. CRC is still on contract. They provide service for CAT paratransit Monday through Thursday with 3 operators most days. Currently, CAT has hired and released for duty on Friday the 15th, 3 operators, 1 full-time and 2 part-timers. Also, we're having a class of 6 new hires in training for paratransit, and it takes about 6 to 8 weeks to train. CAT is still experiencing some interruptions due to shortage of operators. Call out vacation and other absences. As of March 14th, our services are operating at full capacity seating. And as of April 19th, CAT ended customers' requirement to wear face coverings, which while riding on fixed route and paratransit buses. And that's my update.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Of course. Anyone else? Any other agencies or organizations?
I just want to mention, as you can see under notices, so we have the State Route 307 Corridor Study Report and other agencies, GDOT, Chatham County, City of Savannah, and CAT, LETS, have already provided some written information reports. They attached under notices. So if you're interested in any of those projects, you can just click on this. For example, you can just click on this attachment and the Chatham County projects will come up.
All right. So we're going to move on to other business. Anything to report under here?
We still don't have a quorum.
No, we don't.
I think in that case, the action items, we can just have, I can present the action items as a status reports, or mm-hmm. Or whoever, we can see the majority present can vote for the action item or something.
Wakota, you can't vote if there's not a quorum.
Yeah, so we can present this as a status report.
You can present them as a status report, but you can't,
yes,
they definitely can't vote on them.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. We can just do that. We can do presentations.
Okay. So the approval of minutes, we just have to wait until the next meeting then.
Yeah.
Okay. I will give a status report on the UPWP amendment. Like I mentioned, I'll give you a little quiz. So what are the three required MPO planning documents? So far, I have talked about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, the long-range one. And then also I have to talk about the second one, the short-range one, Transportation Improvement Program. And then the third one is this Unified Planning Work Program. So basically, the Unified Planning Work Program is the staff budget. So it outlines like how much money will we have for the next fiscal year, and then how that money will be used to pay for staff work, what kind of work the staff will be doing. So our next one, next UPWP is for 2023, which starts in July, on July the 1st of this year, ends on June 30th of next year. We actually adopted our UPWP in February, back in February. So when we draft the UPWP, the UPWP outlines the revenue sources. So the revenue sources to pay for the staff work of two. One is the Federal Highway Administration. Another one is Federal Transit Administration. So for the Federal Transit Administration, we normally do, GDOT normally sends out an application process and we apply for the funds. It's called 5303 funds. That's normally done in November. So we know exactly how much we're going to have for the next year. But for the highway, it's a little bit tricky. So sometimes the GDOT Office of Financial Management tell us how much will be available. Sometimes they don't. So this is the situation where we didn't know when we developed the UPWP, like how much the highway planning funds will be available. So what GDOT told us, assume that you're going to have the same funding level for the next year as the previous year. So our previous year, which is 2022, and we have about $360,000. So with the local match, 20% local match, so the total is about $450,000. But in March, finally GDOT figured out like, okay, you will have $85,000 more for fiscal year 2023. So that means instead of 450, and we're going to have $535,000 to pay for the staff work. So we have to add those $85,000 into the UPWP. So what we decide to do is because the staff work will be divided into different tasks. So we decide to evenly split this $85,000 into two planning tasks. One is administration. Another one is plan development, system planning development. So as you can see, for the task one, administration, it was 145. Now adding that 40, so evenly divided the $40,000, so got $188,000. And then for the system planning, so also add another $40,000, so it become $253,000. So this is part of the UPWP amendment, because we are adding $85,000 and even split between those two tasks. The second part of this UPWP development is we were notified there will be some of newly available funds that is particularly for increasing safe and accessible transportation options. So the total amount is about $10,000 with the local match, and the total is about $13,000. So these funds have very particular usage. So you cannot apply that funds on other tasks unless it is related to increasing safe and accessible transportation. So we are planning to use these additional funds, about $13,000, on non-motorized transportation plan update and the thoroughfare plan update. So we added a planning task, task seven, which is increasing safe and accessible transportation options. So GDOT decided that to sign the funding contract with the MPO, they will have two different funding contracts. So one is from the regular planning funds, another one is for the increase in safe and accessible transportation. So this is easier to manage. So basically for this UPWP amendment, we are having basically two amendments. One is to add $85,000. That is the really available PL funds. And the second is to add in the increasing safe and accessible transportation. So we're adding about 85 plus, about $98,000 into the UPWP to pay for the staff work for the next year. Any questions?
I guess hearing no questions, we can move on to the next item, which is the April 2022 amendments to the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP.
Okay, as I mentioned before, TIP is the short range programming document. It lists 4 years of program. So the current TIP is 21, covering fiscal year 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. So we are approaching the end of fiscal year 2022, which ends on June 30th. So we have to make sure whatever funds we program in 2022 get obligated. So if the funds don't get obligated, they either have to be moved to later years or they have to be reallocated to other projects. So this TIP outlines the changes that we're pursuing in April. So I'll just go through all of them very quickly. So the first of all, Truman Linear Park Trail phase project. Because City of Savannah added a right-of-way phase, which really delayed the project a little bit, because when we planned the project before, there was no right-of-way required. And now we were told that there are like four parcels of right-of-way will be needed for this project, but this should be done very quickly. But still, that will put the construction phase into fiscal year 2023, which starts on July the 1st of this year. So there might be, it might be like you see, currently they're in 2022, you're moving them to 2023, but the difference might be only several months. So it might start in August or something. So, but in terms of fiscal year, they will be moved into fiscal year 2023. The second project is Old River Road project. When we programmed the Old River project, or Chatham County actually applied for the Z230 funds, and they got Z230 funds for the PE in 2023, for the right of way in 2022, and right of way in 2023. But the problem with this project is part of this project, the Old River Road project, part of it's located within the MPO planning boundary because it's within Chatham County, but another one is located in Effingham County, which is not a part of the MPO boundary. So the MPO really cannot spend any of the federal dollars, our controlled portion of the federal dollars, onto the portion that is not located within the MPO planning boundary. So Effingham County agreed to come up with the local funds to start project development, but my understanding is that they haven't identified the funds, so they couldn't sign a funding agreement with Chatham County to start the project development. So that means the project will be moved into later years, probably after 2025, until the funding picture is clearer. So we're going to delete this project into out of the TIP. So basically that released the 2022 funds, about $560,000, the federal portion, for use by other projects. And for the 2023 funds, about $2 million, that will be released to the Z230 coffer, and that will become a part of our next coffer projects for 2023. So related to this, remember $560,000 will be released in 2022. If we don't use these funds, if we don't obligate these funds, and they will be carried over, and we don't know the split between 2023 and 2024. So in order to prevent that, we determined that we probably will use the release to $560,000 to see what projects can use them, what projects programmed in 2022 can use them. So one project we found out is the Chevers Road Improvement Project. It will need a little bit of PE funds in 2022. It will get some help because it has an 8 cost increase for the preliminary engineering. So it will get about $330,000 of the released funds from the Old River Road. And then another project, we use the leftover, is Girard Avenue improvement. So it will get about $287,000. Also in fiscal year 2022. So basically we hope that these funds will be authorized because Chatham County has already signed the PFA with GDOT. They just need to do some kind of amendment so they can get the funds authorized. So we don't have to reallocate and get authorized. And another project is the Project Drain. Project Drain, it just got delayed and delayed and delayed. Now GDOT found out that the city's process for environmental process, environmental justice process probably need more work, more analysis. So that means they will need additional preliminary engineering funds in fiscal year 2022. So they will be used the HIP funds, about $307,000 of HIP funds, and then about $493,000. So total is about $800,000 of the federal portion, and then the total is about $1 million, I think. The total additional PE is about $1 million. So we will add these funds in fiscal year 2022 so that the city can undertake additional PE work for preliminary engineering for this project. And the transit portion, we also got some funding request from the transit portion. So my understanding, because for transit funding, it's kind of hard for us to program because we have to take whatever request information from CAT, but if they cannot convey that clearly to us, we have to interpret what they say. So actually I got some news this morning that there are still some kind of numbers to be corrected in this TIP amendment report. So I'm working with CAT right now to get this sorted out. But basically, there are two major programs that need some kind of amendments. One is the Section 5307. This is the major program that the CAT works with. The thing is, when we developed the TIP, CAT probably got the partial apportionment for the 5307. That's about $4.7 million. So now they got the news of the full apportionment. So that becomes $6.2 million. And so that means the projects programmed with these 5307 funds have to be updated as well. So as you can see, I'm just going to show you this very quickly. So this is what was programmed with that $4 million 5307. But now since the CAT got additional funds in fiscal 2022, $6 million. So they just want to make some update to the fiscal year 2022. So right now I'm still working with CAT to get all these numbers finalized because they found some more mistakes this morning. So, but we're still in the 15-day public review and comment period. So we can update our report anytime when we got updated information. So this is one of the transit TIP amendments. Another part is related to the Section 5307H, which is the water ferry. So basically, CAT had some like water ferry funds program in 2024. They now want to move it into 2022. So, like I said, I'm still working with CAT today to get this really finalized because I mean, when they send us the information, if we can only include whatever information they send us because we don't have the capability to check the FTA system. So basically we cannot read their mind. So I did provide the information to them in the Word file, so they can work directly on this report and make corrections, and we will see what changes they will make. So basically for the CAT tip is 5307 and 5307H, both programs. And we're still in the 15-day public review and comment period, which ends on Wednesday. That's it. Any questions?
I guess hearing no questions, we can move on to public participation opportunities. Thank you, YCODA, for your presentation. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? Was there someone that was from the public that was on earlier, like at the beginning of this meeting?
I don't see her on here now.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess we can move on to adjournment. The next meeting for ACAT will be June 27th, 2022 at 1 p.m. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.